Hello, welcome to Crucified for Christ Ministries. If this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, I just want to say welcome. Glad that you're here. I don't believe it's by accident. I believe it's by God's divine direction that you're here. On this website, there's sermons, so you can scroll down. You can find a ton of sermons. I also have more sermons on the archive page, so you can find more sermons there. A few Bible studies, some devotionals. I try to post a devotional a few throughout the week. And they're all free, so you can check out all these resources. If you do need to get in contact with me, several ways. First, my Facebook went down last week. So I think they finally got it back up. So you can reach out to me to Facebook. Last week you couldn't private message me or anything because of it went down. Supposedly I got hacked. I don't know. That's what they were telling me. But I believe I'm back online for now. So you can get a hold through me through private messenger, Facebook, also Twitter, Instagram. And here's the thing. If Facebook goes down again, the way you can contact me is through email. On this website, there is an email source that is the best way to get a hold of me when Facebook goes down. If you do email me, just make sure you put Crucified for Christ Ministries in that subject title. So if it does go to spam, and I check my spam. Actually started checking my spam a whole lot more when Facebook went down. Actually caught up through all my spam. I check it once a month. I checked it more than most checked it every day. Last week, make sure I didn't get no emails, because that would have been the quickest way to get a hold of me, unless you had my personal phone number where you could text me. And not many of you have that, because I don't freely provide that, only to a handful of people. So if it goes down again, I'm normally on Facebook a lot sharing scriptures. If you start seeing that I'm not on there, not sharing scriptures or podcasts, you should immediately assume that Facebook banned me, they kicked me out, or I got hacked again. And a quick way to, that's why I started this. This is one reason I started this website, is you can email me. Email is been around forever. It'll not saying one day they'll regulate that, but right now that would be the last thing they would regulate. The quickest way to shut people like me up on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, or I don't have a YouTube channel. I believe YouTube will eventually go down because it's just this age of censoring. Right now people don't think YouTube's gonna go down. We'll see what happens. I think personally YouTube will eventually be censored tremendously. And those that are YouTubers out there, they're actually, I'll listen to a lot of YouTube videos out there. I hope they're ready. I hope they have a website so you can go to their website and they're not just depending on YouTube to get their content out. But I'll say all that. Email me. Email me on my website was up and running. You could have easily got a hold of me through my website. So if you're new, I have a website. You're on my website. On my website, there's an email. My email goes directly to my Yahoo account. That's a quick way to get a hold of me, especially when Facebook is down, or my Facebook is down for whatever reason it may be. It may eventually be banned completely from Facebook. Who knows? It wouldn't hurt my feelings, just put it that way. So we're going through Psalms. Doing a Psalm series, a Psalm preaching teaching series. Last week we went to, we're doing Psalms 9. I actually divided this into two parts. Part 1 was last week. Today, this week is part 2, so it's very important for you to, if you haven't, to listen to part 1 to be able to get the full message of part 2. They are need to be listened together to get the full message. So if you haven't listened to part one, especially if this is your first time listening to a sermon on this website, I encourage you to go back, listen to part one. Because if you just listen to part two, there you will not get the full message that the Holy Spirit needs you to hear from this, from what he's speaking to me to preach and teach on in Psalm 9. And let's just read Psalm 9 again. And let's just listen to God's holy word. I love God's word. I love to read his word and to study his word. And I pray that you are like that. You're meditating in his word day and night. I pray that you have that heartbeat to do that. So let's read Psalm 9. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thy most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish in thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right, my cause. Thou sayest in the throne, judging right, thou hast rebuke the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked, thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O the enemy, destructions are come to a prayerful end, thou hast destroyed the cities, their memorials is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He had prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in his righteousness, and he shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also shall be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know the name will put their trust in thee, for the Lord hath not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwells in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. When he makes inquiry for blood, he remembers when he forgot not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. That lifteth me up from the gates of hell. That I may show forth all thy praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathens are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid, in their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he execute. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. He kalong. That's just a musical instrument here. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but man. Shalom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come before you in your holy presence, Lord, we pray your will be done. We pray for your guidance and your direction. Give me the words to speak in this message. For I am weak, you are strong. I don't want anything to come out of my mouth that is not from you, God. Holy Spirit, take over. Lord, I pray for those that are listening and may be new to this website. God, we lift them up to you, Lord. I don't know what's going on in their life, but you do, God. I pray for their soul. I pray for what is going on in their life, God. I don't know if there's matters of faith and our doubt or loss or hopelessness or desperation or stress, God, but I know that's a lot of that's going on in our old world here. And I know within your presence, with your guidance, we should not be hopeless. As children of God, we should be filled with hope, joy, and peace, even when things are falling apart all around us. Holy Spirit, come, flow in their life. If they don't know you, Lord, I pray, Lord, through your word, they get to know you. Open their eyes to your word. Fill their heart with joy and peace. Flood their life. Flood their life, Lord, with the light of your gospel. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. So this week we're finishing the rest of these verses up. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 8. Keep in mind this is a psalm of David who is lifting up a holy God and seeking his direction. This psalm is a psalm of praise, a psalm of remembrance, that David is being reminded that God is good regardless of what the circumstances that David may be encountering. Guess what? That reigned true in our lives. We need to be reminded that God is still good. He is still good regardless of the times that may really be rough, that may really be challenging. God is still the God of the valleys, right? As he is the God of the mountaintops. It's when those valleys, we learn and grow. They're painful a lot of times. But God is crafting us in those valleys. He is shaping us. He's molding us to be the men and women that he needs us to be. We need to keep this in mind as we go through the rest of this psalm. The heartbeat of these two messages, that one last week and the message this week in Psalm 9, is God is good regardless of our circumstances. If you're taking notes, write it down. You may physically be taking notes. But when you go through this psalm, you need to have this mindset. God is good regardless of our circumstances. We need this reminder, especially in times that we may be going through right now, or that we may be going through some period or a time that's a very deep, dark valley that is rocking our very core. We need to be reminded that God is good. He is good regardless of our circumstances. Let's start on verse 9. We're going to read through. We should be able to get through the rest of these verses today. And this is the sermon for the week. And let's look at verse 9 through 10. It says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble." Verse 10 says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for though Lord has not forsaken them that seek thee." David is being reminded, and we need to be reminded, that the Lord is our refuge. He is the refuge for the oppressed. I want to tell you, if you're seeking to live a godly life in this world, you will be oppressed. You will be verbally and even physically attacked. Here in America at this time, the worst that us disciples, true children of God, will face is verbal attacks. Now, I know there's been physical attacks on Christians in America throughout the history. And I know there's ones that have been put in jail, but that is a very small percentage compared to other nations. The majority of us children of God in America, our tax will be verbal. However, I believe this will increase. The verbal tax will increase, and this will lead to physical attacks. And no, I am not professing to be a prophet. I'm just a man that studied God's word and that just looks at the trend of America. And you can actually study other nations that were on the same path that we were on and where they're at now. It's just connecting knots. I know a lot of these guys out there professing the prophets. That's all they do. They study the past, and then a lot of them are just con artists. And trust me, they're really good because they're got millions of views. They're really good at what they do, and God helped them for professing something they're not, and God will deal with them. God, because God does not take fakeness lightly, pretending to be something you're not lightly, especially when it comes to pronouncing yourself to be a prophet. Even those that are out there saying they are pastors, but they are so removed from God's word, it's not even funny. My heart breaks for them, because in that state that they're in, if they die tonight, they would not inherit the kingdom of God. They would be burned in the flames of hell, because they're not convicted. If I was out there preaching what they're preaching, I'd be so convicted in my heart, I couldn't even sleep. God would rattle me and shake me, and I would have to get on the floor and start crying for forgiveness. These guys do it like ain't nothing, like it's normal, business as usual. That's a sign that the Holy Spirit is not in their life, but they're operating in the spirit of the devil, Satan. But you will be oppressed. And I believe here in America, this verbal will turn more physical. I believe those that are standing on the truth of God's word here in America will face things that they were thought, never were thought would happen here in America. That is physical, increase in physical attacks, to even being arrested, thrown in jail, and even being executed for his name's sake. Those that stand on sin like homosexuality, transgender. I want to tell you, this movement of the LGBT+, is a defining movement within America, especially within the church, and those that will compromise and say that is okay versus those that will stand on God's word and say that is not okay. God's word does not prove the acceptance of homosexuality as an okay sin. There's those out there that profess to be a gay Christian. No, you're not a gay Christian. Not by that word of Christianity, that Christian word that is revealed in God's word. You're distorting God's word. You're spitting on God's word. You're making mockery of God's word, and God will not be mocked. You will face eternal damnation. I know you can find you a pastor that will be a LGBT+ acceptance, and that pastor will share a place in hell with you if you don't repent, and he or she don't repent. Same thing with transgender, that's a LGBT. You look at sin on idolatry, putting things before God, filthy communication. How many out there professing to know Jesus and the language that flows from their mouth is just filthy. witchcraft, fornication, adultery. You got pastors in the pulpit that have cheated on their wives, and then they divorce a wife and they marry the person they cheated with, and they're still preaching in the pulpit. I'm not going to name call today, but I'm going to tell you there are people out there. And their praise. This is the perversion. And here, right here in America, this is the perversion of the gospel. And that's why I ain't no prophet. I just look at the trends. I look at this perversion. And I can tell you the road that we're headed to is a road where we will, men and women, truly, in God's word, we will be the oppressed. They will do wherever they can. We will be labeled as troublemakers. And they will do whatever means necessary to shut us up. And I pray that you're prepared for this and that you are armored up, right? Ready to face whatever that will come your way. Even though you may not believe what's coming out of my mouth right now, I want to tell you, you need to armor up. You need to be men and women within God's word. God's word should be a discipline that saturates your life more than anything else you do during your day, more than YouTubing, more than watching television, more than going out and doing those hobbies. I know here in Louisiana, hunting season's coming up, and a lot of people are going to go hunting. And I'm not saying you can't go hunting. I'm just saying that shouldn't be your main passion. And you say, well, I'm out there hunting. I'm bringing my Bible, and I'm going to study God's word. You're out there. Amen. Praise Jesus for that. Well, I'm saying we need to put God's word first. We need to put prayer within our life too. On top of that, these things should be saturating our life more than anything else that's going on in our life. These are things that I truly believe that is neglected, especially here in America. People are not in God's word. People are neglecting their prayer life. And this is a recipe for disaster. But we need to armor up. We need to be men and women of prayer. Men and women of studying God's word. Because this draws us closer to our Lord. Our refuge. Our refuge in times of trouble. Verse 10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Though Lord has not forsaken them that seek thee. When your heart is truly beating for the Lord, you will have your roots firmly in the holy ground that will stand against any challenge this old world can hit you with. If you remember Psalm 1, at the beginning of this teaching and preaching series, I just want to read it real quick. It's very short. I'm just going to read it. It says, blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his light is what? In the law of the Lord. And in his law do he meditate day and night. And he shall be like what? A tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf all shall not wither, and whosoever he do shall prosper. In Psalm 1, you can go back, you can listen to that. We talk about this root system, a good root system. A good root system starts in being in God's word, meditating day and night as the psalmist, I believe this is David, but under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penning this psalm, this song to sing to the Lord, that he wants to delight in the law of the Lord, and we should be delighting in the law of the Lord, and in that law do he meditate, what, day and night, meaning there is a constant state of being in God's word. A lot of times I memorize scripture, and throughout the day, when I don't have my Bible, I'm at work, I'm just rehearsing scripture in my mind throughout the day. over and over and over. And then on my lunch break, I go back and I look at the scripture and I learn a little bit more. And then throughout the day, and it's the same thing with prayer. You can silently pray throughout the day. You get breaks throughout the day. You get times of rest throughout the day. What do you do? Do you pick up your phone and immediately go YouTube and start YouTubing stuff? Or do you go to Facebook and you play around with Facebook? I'm going to tell you, if you're doing that more than what you're praying, you're clocking more time than that. There's a problematic issue in your life, and you're setting yourself up for all kind of traps, snares that the devil is placing for you. And if you're doing, if you're trying to do, you're not spiritually arming yourself with God's word, you're not meditating His word day and night, you will fall for them snares, them traps that Satan sets up for you. Because what? You're operating in your own strength, not in the strength of the Holy God. And how do we operate in His strength? Is by saturating ourselves in God's word. Preachers, we've probably said this, and those preachers probably said that before I came along. And if this world tarries when I'm passed away, which I don't believe this world will tarry that long, honestly believe that this old world is on its last legs. But if I die and tomorrow, because we don't know, right? We don't know when our last day is, and preachers will be preaching the same thing over. And why do true preachers preach, and we kind of sound like a broken record for a reason? Because people are not doing this. I can't look into your life and say, you know, your Bible reading is very lacking. Your prayer life is very lacking. But God does. You can hide, you can pretend as much as you want, and you can fake me out. But God looks into the windows of your home, and He looks at the windows of your soul, and He knows exactly where you stand. And that right there should create a fear in you. Because you can't hide from Almighty God. He sees your pretending. He sees your faking. And ultimately He will judge you for that behavior. Yeah, that's intense. That's not being preached in majority of churches. Why? Because there is this soft peddling of who God is. There's a soft peddling of not speaking on the fear of the Lord. For the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of understanding. Meaning this fear of the Lord, which is like a reference, right? And really, we don't really truly have a word to express that, but we try to use some English words, and one is a reverence. We have a reverence for God, meaning we revere Him, we respect Him, we humble ourselves before Him. And when we have sin in our life, when we're neglecting what His word, and we're neglecting the prayer, our prayer life, there is this conviction that should hit us like a ton of bricks, that should bring us to our knees. Oh, are you doing that? Are you convicted right now? Are you just upset with me? You give me way too much credit. You really do. I'm just a messenger. I take no credit for the way I preach. I don't take no credit for the way I seek God's direction as I preach and teach. I give God all credit and direction, and I give Him credit. I give Him glory. But a lot of times preachers that the Holy Spirit gives us a message, we become easy targets because we're just easy to attack. We're flesh and bones, right? Look at the men in the Bible that stood on God's truth. They were always easy to attack. Look at the apostles. Majority of them faced brutal deaths, crucifixion, beating, stoning, right? Beheading. We're just easy targets. But we're just messengers to rattle and wake people up from their sleep. But we need a strong root system. And we do this abiding in Jesus Christ, trusting Him that He got this. Life is will have challenges, I promise you. Some will be harder than others. But when we start abiding in Christ, when we start into His Word, we start seeing beyond ourselves, we start seeking His true direction, His true way, His true path. We seek Him to be number one in our life and everything else. Second, third, fourth, but He is number one. It's all about perspective. Knowing that the challenges, the valleys, the trials that we go through in life, they're meant to grow us, to grow you. Some are may experience more painful challenges or trials, or but that does not mean that God has forsaken you. No, God will not forsake those that what? As the psalmist says, that seek thee. And that's just the KJV, thee. That's basically you can say that seek Him, seek God. And David's being reminded that, yes, this life will be challenged, but what David is saying, I will keep my eyes on you, Lord. You will not forsake me. I will not buy into the lies of the enemy that you, God, has forsaken me. We need to be reminded, we may be oppressed, we may be challenged, but He does not forsake us. Yes, we have to go through hard times, but that does not mean that He has forsaken us. I want to tell you, it rains on the just, it rains on the unjust. We live in a cursed world, and we have to live under that curse, and there's challenges that will happen in our life, but we got to understand, even in those challenges, we have a safe place to go. We have a refuge, and His name is God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you in that refuge? That safe place? David continues in verses 11 through 14. He says, saying praises to the Lord. Do you sing praises to the Lord? Saying praises to the Lord which dwells in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. Remember, David is saying that Zion is Jerusalem. And when he make inquiries of blood, for blood. Makes inquisit for blood. He remember them. He forsake not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I have suffered of them that have suffered of them. I lost my place here. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that lift me up from the gates of hell, that I may show forth all thy praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. God is just keep reminding David a remembrance. That God will execute perfect justice on those that does Him harm and others. See, we can get in trouble when we try to take matters in our own hands. When we're dealing with a challenge, a situation that's involving a person or people that are causing us pain and suffering. We need to be in tune with God and how He wants us to deal with that situation. Are that person or people. Because our flesh can get hurt and our emotions can cloud our judgment that are the direction that God wants us to deal with that situation, that challenge that person or a bunch of people are causing us. For example, I can use myself as an example for when I'm at work. Say if I'm at work and a coworker comes up to me and he starts cursing me out, and I decide to get into the flesh, and that's just saying I'm going to operate in my own, here's Jonathan in the flesh, and I start cussing him out too. But what does this accomplish? Most of the people at work, they know that I am a preacher. They know that I do my best to serve the Lord. But this one act of losing my cool, getting in the flesh, can affect others that I have witnessed over the years, those that I have hand out gospel tracts to, those that have my personal phone number, that they call and can talk to me if they have any questions they have in the past. Now, God can forgive me for losing my cool, getting the flesh, and I should be convicted of this and ask forgiveness from God. And of course, for that person that was cursing me out, because I am held to a higher standard. We are held to a higher standard than that person. And I should ask forgiveness that I shouldn't have lost it on you like that. But guess what? It'd be a whole lot better if I never fell in that temptation of reacting in the flesh that Satan has sent a person or a people over there to cause me to act like Jonathan Ritter, like the flesh. Because why? Maybe I did not pray up that day. Maybe I neglected reading God's word. And I'm not in the right mindset. See, when we can get in the wrong mindset when we're not really in the right mindset. And how do we get in the right mindset? Is study up, pray up. See, when we're studying and seeking God's direction, prayer is key, is key component, successful every day, a walking in the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit will guide us to not slip into the flesh and respond like this world. What if that person came up and cussed me? I just took that cussing. And then after that person got finished cussing me out, I say, can I pray for you? Of course, that person may cuss me out some more. And I just take it and I say, can I pray for you again? See, that is a biblical response. Of course, it's at work, so upper management will probably get involved. If I acted the same way as that person did, I'd be in trouble too. But if I asked to pray for that guy that is attacking me, that Satan has sinned to buffer me, and I don't respond the way that a normal person would do. Why? Because I have the Holy Spirit inside me, and I should respond the way Jesus would respond to that person. I can use that as an opportunity to reach others around me. I start getting beyond myself and I start seeing how God can use that situation. And understand that I don't have to defend myself. Why? Because God will deal with those that hurt us one way or the other, that are causing us a lot of pain. And this should not make us happy, we should mourn for their souls. Because this is close as heaven as they're going to get. If they do not turn from their wicked ways. And this is as close as hell as we will get as children of God. That we will experience. And that's what verse 12 and 13 and 14 is. What God is reminding David. David was a bloody man. He was a warrior. God will not forget our cry out to Him. And He will have mercy upon us in the times that we are going through, and those that come and want to cause us problems. We just keep on pressing on. We realize that person, it's easy to realize that, to look at that person as a problem. But we got to understand that person is under the influence of Satan or a demon. Demonic, causing him to come at us to cause us pain, and we need to put it where it belongs, put it in the hands of God. Take that cursing, take that beating, take whatever, but lift the holy name and praise him. Satan cannot do nothing with a child of God with this mindset. And this is a mindset that we need to craft through all the things that we may be going through right now or will go through. And I promise you, persecution upon America and on America and the true children of God will increase one way or the other. But we should mourn for those that don't know who our God is. David says in verse 15 to 20, he says, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in a net which they hid in their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he execute. The wicked is snared up on the work of his own hands. Salam. That hikalon is just looking at commentaries. That's just a musical instrument here. Remember these songs, they were written for music. Majority of them were written for music. And that salon is a pause, a rest. Look and reflect. The heathens are sunken down right in the pit. See, a person that comes up and that cusses me out, that wants to cause me pain, he has sunk his dam in the pit that he had made, in a net which they hid in their own foot taking. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. That person is lost. That person is going to hell. And me to take that cursing and to pray for that person, or even to get that person's name, and I may already know that person's name, and I probably already handed him a track, and that's probably why he's cussing me out, because I have irritated his demons that has control over him. But I take it and I pray for him. Why? Because I know where his soul is headed if he does not come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have family members. I have family members. I have a little sister who don't want nothing to associate with me because she believes I've lost my mind to Jesus Christ, and I have. He's my everything. He's more important than anything else in this world. My heart beats for him completely and utterly. And I've witnessed to her, but she don't want to hear it. And I still pray for her, because I know if tonight was her last night on this earth, she would not inherit the kingdom of God. And that breaks my heart. God is a just God. He honors decisions. Verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. Will always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. O rise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but man. Shalom. I want to tell you, those that reject God in this lifetime will experience a lifetime of everlasting torment. God is reminding David. He's saying, look at these people. Look at that person. Look at that people. Look at that nation that forgets me. that person's soul if he or she dies. Will not inherit the kingdom of God, everlasting torment, the pits of hell where they will descend. And people and a nation that reject Jesus Christ, it should break our heart. I promise you there will be more people in hell than in heaven. I believe hell is enlarging itself. When we look at this whole world, the wickedness of this world. Just look at here in America, the glorifying of children, a child sacrifice, abortion. Look at this year here in America, it's election time for the presidency. Look at the Democratic take on abortion. They see and they support abortion and they praise for the killing of children in the womb. And some of them are okay with what they call killing rooms. If you ever heard this term, it's basically when a baby is born, that if the parents do not want that baby or they think that baby has a deficient, they will take that baby and they will place that baby in a room so the baby can slowly die. Oh, how grieving that is. This is evil, and the Democrats are okay with that. It's just how the Democrats look at the Republicans. They are soft peddling their stance on abortion. Because why? It's all about winning the election. And I'll tell you, when amidst all this, God is not happy. We should stand firm. But it's all about winning the election. It's not about pointing a nation back to God, to be under God. I believe the heart, and for them to soft pedal this really exposes the heart of America and how wicked she is. Some people say, her heart isn't wicked. We'll see. Let's watch this election in America and see what happens. If Kamala Harris wins, and I don't care how much you want to talk about voter fraud. I think a lot of people, they just blow that out of portion because they don't want to realize how dark and deep the heart of America is. Decayed, is corrupt, is wicked. Look at the homosexuality, this transgender here in America. Don't worry about pride for one month. That flag is up year round. I don't care how much they want to try to hide that American pride, the flag, the homosexual flag, the LGBT flag is hung year-round because this is a nation that wants to glorify that filth, that garbage. Look at the filth that is on television that many watch here in America. That even they profess know Jesus Christ and they still watch that filth. Look at the lack of living a holy life for this world. Look at the lack of seeking to make God number one. By the way we walk in this life. Look at what masks around as true Christianity. People say Taylor Swift, she professes to know Jesus. She professes to be a Christian, but guess what? And this is the false Christianity that is gulfing America and has been gulfing America. But Taylor Swift, what she believes in, having sex with as many people as possible. She's half naked on her videos that are promoting witchcraft. She's cussing. She supports abortion. She supports homosexuality, transgender movement. And this is what is called true Christianity in America. And she is praised. And she is worshiped. As long as she has breath in her body, she can come to Jesus Christ, right? But she keeps practicing this sinfulness and okay with that and saying this is what Christianity is. She will not inherit the kingdom of God. And those that support her and okay with that, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, 16 through 26 says this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to the one to the other. So ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be held, it may be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. I want to tell you, Taylor Swift fits almost every part here. Idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murders, abortion, right? She supports that. Drunkenness, she believes in getting drunk, revealing. And Paul says, such which I have told you before, as I have told you in time past, that which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. She will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those that support her and okay with that lifestyle, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Is their cohabitation with a person that means you're living with somebody that you're not married to. You're having sex with somebody you're not married to. And that preacher man's saying that's okay. It's all right. He is violating scripture, because what is that? That is fornication. And here, part of that fornication lifestyle says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. You do not have sex before marriage. This is just one of those things that it just blows my mind. Preachers won't touch this, but it seems like they want to touch on specific different things, and they'll avoid passages like this because they don't want to be unpopular. They don't want to talk, that they're afraid they may chase people off. I'll tell you, I will chase as many as necessary off, and they can give me credit for chasing them off. I'm not chasing them off. God's word is chasing them off. The light of the Holy Spirit is chasing them off, because they want to live in darkness. They want to walk in darkness. And we expose that wickedness, that darkness, and we throw the light of the gospel upon them. For we know their eyes are blinded, and only the glorious gospel can break them scales from their eyes. Paul goes on and says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, promoting one another, to envying one another. Paul here is speaking a hard truth. And in that time, it would have been hard. He was living in a pagan world like we're living today, especially in America, is pagan galore. Pagan everywhere. Pagan worship everywhere. Idolatry running wild. Fornication. All of these sins were, in Paul's time, was running rampant. Is running rampant here in America, and it may be running rampant in where you're at if you're in another nation. I only can speak about America. I'm not familiar with other nations or other countries that you may be in, but you may be looking around and see this lack, this glorification of sin, this promoting of another gospel, this saying this is true Christianity when it is not. It is a false Christianity. It is another gospel. The gospel tells us that we do not want to walk in the flesh. While we talks about being crucified for Jesus Christ, we recognize who we are in Jesus Christ. We are new in Christ, and we strive to walk in the light. Just listen to verse 15 through 17 says, and the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, and net which they hid in their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which is executed. The wicked is snared in the work of their own hands. Hikalong, salah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The heathens will reject the true God. They will sink down the pit that they made, and that they have decided to place themselves in. The people of a nation that glorifies sin, abortion, homosexual, and unholy living, and the list goes on. They have set a net of Satan. They have choose to go their own way, that wide way, right, that leads to destruction. They make that decision, and God honors their decision to go that their own way. But listen to verse, the last few verses here. It says, "Rise, O Lord, let not prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but man." Shalom, or Shalah. I don't know why I'm saying Shalom today. Shalah. Pause, rest, reflect. I want to tell you, my friend, if you're a child of God, you may need a reminder. I know I do. We are not forsaken. We serve an almighty God, and He is coming back soon. I know we can lose this heart when we're walking in this old world. We're a light in the darkness, right? But that darkness can get overwhelming sometimes. We reach for those that are in darkness with God's help. There's souls that are lost, they're going to hell, and this should break our heart, because we know that this is the best life they will have right now. This is the worst that we will have. It's sad. I'll use this phrase, and I don't think it's new, something I made, but I'll say this is as children of God, this is close as hell as we will get. And this is as close as heaven as they will get, the heathen, those that reject the true living God. Oh, what joy, my friend, when our Lord comes back. And He says, "Welcome home." Matthew 25:21 says, "Lord said to him, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." That is us children of God, that we're in this darkness, right? But we shouldn't lose hope. We got to press on. Why? Because we know this life is not... This is temporary. This is, yes, it's a moment of discomfort, a moment of challenge, a moment of suffering and pain. But it's only temporary, my friend. Keep pressing on. Keep marching on. Don't lose hope. Don't get despair. Press on, my friend. Let me tell you, if you're walking with the Lord and you're doing what He has set for you every day, that could be going to work, being a light at work, handing out gospel tracts, whoever that you may come across, from work to the marketplace or a social event, telling others the good news, preaching on the street. That's just as important as me preaching physically in a pulpit that to 1,000 or 1,000,000 people. If we're doing what God has laid out for us that day to do, if it's just to reach one person that day, and that's the person that God wants us to reach for that day, praise His holy name. If there's only one person in our lifetime that God wants us to reach, and that's the person that He wants to place in our life, and that's His design for our life, that's just as important as reaching 1,000 or 1,000,000. We get locked up on numbers, and it's said here in America, we get locked up on numbers. Just listen to the garbage that flows from people. Oh, we had 500 people baptized today. Oh, there was 500 acknowledgments of Jesus Christ. They use numbers over and over. Why? Because most of the time they're boasting themselves. Oh, they're going to disagree and say, "No, we just want to show what God's doing." I want to tell you, the majority of them are boasting themselves high up there. Did they truly receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? What did you tell them? Did you tell them about hell? Did you tell them about sin? Did you tell them about Taylor Swift, how she is not a Christian? Did you tell them about this perversion that's going on? Did you tell them the truth? Yeah, Jesus came to this world to die for our sins. Yes, Jesus came to die on that cross. Oh, His blood was shed. He was placed in that tomb. That third day He rose, and He's coming back again. And what is sin? Here is what sin is. Go to Galatians, talk about sin, talk about adultery, talk about fornication. You can go to the Ten Commandments if you look up on a woman, right? You commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery, right? No, what happens is majority of them are soft pedaling the gospel. Why? Because they're looking for the numbers. They're padding the books. I don't tell you, if you truly preach a gospel message that's straight from God's word, and you're being as specific as you can, you're calling out people like Taylor Swift, you're calling about these actors in Hollywood that profess to know Jesus Christ, and they wouldn't know who they wouldn't know the true Jesus Christ if he sat right there looking at them. Why? Because they're starring in movies that are filthy and full of violence, and we're watching it, and we're just as guilty as they are because we're watching it. Oh, that got real. You start telling people that they need to live a separate life from this world. See how many people that truly come to Jesus Christ at that point in time. Ask them about the law. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything? Do you have any other gods before you? Idolatry. Honoring your father and mother. Do you take the God's name in vain? If you look at a woman with lust like adultery, or a man with lust, that's adultery. If you're not married, if you're married, right? If you're not married and you're single, that's fornication. See how many people come. There's a soft peddling of the gospel. Message of God's love. And they distort that word love. They pervert that word love. Love is seen at the cross, and the love that God exhibit, the agape love that God exhibit, this unconditional love, we truly don't have a word to cover that, but it's an unconditional love that he poured out on us, the blood that was shed for our sins. John the Baptist said, here's the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. What is sin? Are you being specific about sin? Are you going to the garden and talking about the curse of man? I'm going to tell you, this is not being preached. This is not being taught. You're just soft peddling. They're going to get a John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But they will not go deeper than that. They will give a superficial message, and of course people are going to sign on to that and roll with it. When all you're preaching, you're saying, oh, everything's going to be okay. But when you start telling you, if you come to Jesus Christ, you might face persecution. Even Jesus Christ said that, even if you, he tells us, as a disciple, and there is no difference being a Christian and a disciple for Jesus Christ. There is no difference. They're the same. If you're a Christian, you're a disciple. When he says, when he's using those scriptures about being a disciple, he's talking about forsaking this world, right? Do we talk about that? Do we express that in the salvation message? I can tell you, I've been at churches, I've been at those that are trying to give a salvation message, and they don't talk about these things. Why? Because they are trying to pad their numbers. Start preaching the true gospel. We pray that his will be done, not ours. We seek his direction. We want to be his hands and feet, always looking for the opportunity to be a light in this dark world, this wickedness world. Jesus Christ, our best example. He was better than any of us. But what happened to him? He was mocked, he was beaten, he was scourged, he was crucified. And when he was on the cross suffering tremendously that he did not deserve, we deserve the cross, we deserve the beating, we deserve the mockery, we deserve the scourging, we deserve the nails. But he looked down on those that mocked him, beat him, scourged him, nailed him to the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We need to understand that vast majority, we will be attacked. When I say majority, I'm talking about those that stand for God's word. I could say, if you look at we are pretty much the minority that stand on the true gospel. But They will attack us. There will people, I'll say the majority of those professing to know Jesus here in America that don't truly know Jesus because they're practicing a Taylor Swift Christianity. What are they going to do? They're blinded by the god of this world. They're under Satan. They're under the influence of Satan, demonic spirits. But we know the gospel of Jesus Christ can break those chains that they have allowed Satan and demons to wrap around their souls. And let's cry out for them that the Holy Spirit breaks those chains in their life so the scales can fall from their eyes. And that's what David kind of wraps this up when he says, O rise, O Lord, let not prevail, let the heathen be judged in thy sight, meaning judgment of God is coming. Put them in fear. That is here a reverence, a fear of God, O Lord, that the nations, and nations are made of people, and you can look at person made known themselves to be but man, meaning bring them to you, Lord. And closing this out, this is part two. Once again, I want to tell you, listen to part one with this part to be able to get the full understanding of this message. In the heartbeat of these two messages, God is good regardless of our circumstances. God is good. Do not forget that God is good. This old world will work you over. I promise you this world works me over left and right most of the days. And if I'm not careful, if we're not careful, we start believing the lies the enemy throws our way. And one of those is God is not good. Why is he letting you go through this? You start hearing that voice, immediately understand this is darkness trying to influence your life. You need to get in the right mindset. Recognize this is demonic. There's no good that comes from listening to that voice or voices. What do we do? We recognize God is still good regardless, right? And David's being here is needing to be reminded that he's going through things. And David had went through things. And David needed this reminding. And we need this reminding that even in the hardest challenges that we will face, God is still good. We need to be men and women that cling to Scripture daily. We need to be men and women in a constant state of prayer throughout the day. A life of prayer is powerful. Meaning, as we walk through this world, there's a heartbeat of being close to God that's walking, of course, in the Spirit. But we're also within that, we take time throughout the day to pray. Is a constant reminder to pray. We may be at work and we may encounter somebody and that needs prayer and we can open pray for them right then and there. And I suggest open pray for them right then and there. Or you could take their name, add them to your prayer list at home and pray for them constantly every day. I actually think about probably doing both would be the best. Is pray for them there, get their name, put them on the your private prayer list. If you have a church, get them to put the on, have multiple people pray for them depending on what their situation is. But this is kind of like a state of prayer, right? We're having a mindset throughout the day when we're at work and something comes up and we're getting overwhelmed, we don't try to solve that on our own. We recognize that I need to place this at God's feet. I don't need to react in my own flesh. See, David could get into the flesh, and if you read through David's account, he got in the flesh. He sinned against God multiple times. He was flawed. And we were reading through these Psalms and Psalms of David, and what point in time, sometimes we can't really pinpoint what time of David's life when he wrote that Psalm, but there was points in his life he needed reminding that God is still good. When he was running from Saul, hiding in the caves, when Saul was trying to kill him multiple times, when he became king and he had sex with Bathsheba, another man's wife, and then he had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, put in the front line to be killed. Basically, that would have been a death sentence. So his blood was stained with Uriah's blood. And then he tried to hide it. And then what happens? Nathan comes and he points it out. God sends men of God into people's lives to expose sin in their life. What happens? He repented. He turned from that wickedness. You never see David ever. One thing about David, you never see David come repeating that sin over again. He basically learned from that sin to not do it again. He never took a man's wife. No. He had multiple women. God never approved of that. And that got him in trouble too. Got his son in trouble. So there's this thing in David's life. He's God in the flesh. And we can get in the flesh. And when we get in the flesh, it's a cautionary tale, right? We can look at David's life, we can read through David's life, and God gives us, don't do this. You don't need multiple wives. You don't need multiple husbands. David got himself in trouble. I truly believe this is why he was able to do that horrific sin. Or you can look at a compound sin of taking Bathsheba, having sex with Bathsheba, and then killing her husband because of this sexual desire that he had toward women. It's not good. We should be men of one wife, or if you're a woman, you need one husband. I'll tell you today, polygamy, I truly believe, in America will become legal. People are like, oh, that ain't gonna happen. There was preachers 20 years ago that were saying that homosexuality, marriage between a man and man, and there's not many of them, that a man and a man would never be, that they would say it would become illegal. And people laughed at them. Not laughing no more. When you say polygamy's going, I truly believe polygamy will be legal. I believe pedophilia will become legal, meaning people will be able to marry young girls or young boys, anywhere from 11 to 12, or maybe younger. You might say that we are living in a wicked time, guys. People will be able to marry their animals, called bestiality. They're doing it in Canada right now. Don't think it's not going to happen here in America. You start saying these things and people's like, no, that ain't going to happen. Until it does happen and they're like, I don't even know why that, I don't understand what's going on. It's because of wickedness. We look around, we see the wickedness, and we need to be reminded that God is coming back soon. He could come back for us. We could physically, this could be my last sermon that I preach. I could close my eyes and be in heaven tomorrow, and I'll be okay with that. But his second coming, we're closer. I say this phrase, we're closer than we were yesterday. I believe before it's all said and done. I can't really see how bad, more worse that this world could get. And I'm going to set dates or anything. I don't do that. But it's hard for me to believe that there's another 100 years left here in America. And that's me being nice. Very, I guess, liberal. Well, yeah, I guess liberal. Conservative, say it. I can't see how there's 40 more years left in America or in this world before Jesus comes back. But I'm not saying that's going to happen. It's just when you look at the time, the wickedness of this world, it's like there's... Because when you look at scripture, it says as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Where some people argue we're living in those times. It says it will be as the days of Noah. And we said that will be like the days of the second coming. So that we look at that, and I don't say I'm not a prophet, I'm just saying we look at God's word and like we're getting pretty close to looking, and some will argue that we're there. And I would say if we're not there, we're pretty close to being there. And when we're there, what he said, it'd be like the coming of the second coming of Jesus Christ. So that's why I'm saying it's hard to believe that this world has 100 more years left in it, but hey, we'll see. But as children of God, we need to be reminded that God is still in control, that God is sovereign. And we need to be reminded that we shouldn't feel the distress, the hopelessness of this world. As children of God, we cling to our refuge. Who is our refuge? The Lord is our refuge. He is our safe place. We cling to Him. When we cling to Him, we have this strong root system. So when everything starts piling down on us and the world feels like it's crushing our head, we'll say, here it is, Lord. Give me strength, your direction. You are in control. I am not. Guide me and direct me. I will trust in Thee. I know You have not forsaken me. And we need to understand our God has not forsaken us. Even though this world is crumbling all around us, understand this has to happen for the coming of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we should never be comfortable in this old world. We should not. This is not our home. Our home is with Jesus. Our home, this home that we have right here is only temporary. We're just passing through. And when we look around, everything falling apart, we said these are signs that Jesus is coming back. And we should be out there giving this warning out to those out there, giving that commission, right, to go and preach the gospel to whoever God places in our hearts, in our paths, right, to reach out and to tell them that there is judgment coming in this world, and we need to get right with Jesus Christ, and this is how you get right with Jesus Christ. This is how you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. We need to be reminded. Some of us need to be reminded constantly. And David here, this is a reminding. God is reminding David. And I pray through these two messages that you're reminded that you are not alone if you're a child of God. And in the first part, we went through salvation. So you get that salvation message there too, to come and to be a child of God. Even here, we talked about the false Christianity. You may, and that's not popular, and people don't want to hear that. And I get that. I understand the way of this world operates. Because, why? We got God's word. And who is the God of this world? Satan, right? So I pray that these two messages, they really resonate with you. To be reminded that if you're a child of God, that you're not forsaken. If you're a child of God, doesn't mean you're not going to be challenged, that you will not face circumstances that will rattle you and work you over. But you need to understand that you're not alone. We need to cling to our refuge, which is in the Lord. And we cling to the refuge through reaching into God's word and being men and women of God's scripture. through memorization, through just a constant study, and through prayer throughout the day, starting in the morning, throughout the day, and as we close our eyes to sleep. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to get into your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, through these messages that it reaches into the hearts of those that are hearing this, that I lift them up in your holy name, that they will go through this psalm again, and they will just reflect on your word. They will read it, and they will pray, Lord, open the word to me. Guide me, Lord, in your direction. And I know if they truly pray that and truly mean it, you will reveal through your word, you will reveal the heartbeat of your message. God, I just pray over those that may be going through hard times. They may be going through challenges. Lord, I pray, Lord, this message helps them be reminded, a remembrance, to keep their eyes focused on you through those challenges, through those storms in life, God. And to recognize the voices that the enemy may hit us with. He is a liar. As a child of God, we are not forsaken. We are never alone. But Satan wants us to make us feel that way. His demons want to make us feel that way. God, help us recognize that deception from the enemy if he's speaking those lies. We rebuke his name. We rebuke the name of Satan right now and his demons that may have a hold on whoever's hearing right now. We rebuke their presence and the hold they have on individuals right now. And God, in your holy name and the blood of Jesus Christ, we rebuke those spirits, Lord. We pray, Lord, the dark chains breaks from their neck and the light floods their hearts and their mind to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, Lord. We lift them up to you right now, Lord. We pray over their souls, God. We pray over their life, Lord. We pray over those that are truly yours, that they get more into your word, more in prayer. They are reminded they are not alone. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you guys. Once again, you can reach out and you can get in contact with me through this website. If you do, just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministry. It goes to my Yahoo. You put Crucify for Christ Ministry there. If it goes to my spam, I'll be able to pick it up. Right now, I'm back on Facebook, so you can message me. I'm on Twitter, Instagram, other ways you can reach out to me. When my Facebook went down, I was still on Twitter and Instagram. I noticed those weren't affected. So those are other ways. I don't get on those often, but you can actually hit me up on those. Some of you guys have my private number, so you can contact me that way through call or text. So those are ways you can reach out to me. So you guys have good rest of your weekend or your week if you're listening to this throughout the week, this message. I pray that you're being a light to this dark world. Bye.